Burden to share here in this meeting, and I was not able to be here yesterday afternoon when Brother Larry preached. I talked to him a little bit, and I don't know what all he had to say, but I trust that the Lord will bless in the message and the burden this afternoon on the subject of untempered mortar. If you'll turn with me over to the 13th chapter of Ezekiel, we'll begin reading with verse 1. Said the word of the Lord came unto me, saying... Now, I want us to first of all keep in mind that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Ezekiel. Yeah. And it is God's desire and purpose for the word of the Lord to come to you as well.
Yeah.
The Lord wants to deal with each one of us on a very personal level, yeah, to where we can understand God's will for our life. Yeah. And so the word of God came unto Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. Mm-hmm. Now that sounds like division to me. Yeah. He was saying, I want you to go and prophesy against the other prophets of Israel. Yeah. And say thou unto them that the prophecy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Folks, it is a dangerous place, and this is not just for the ministers, this is for all of us. Yeah. It is a dangerous place to go out saying, the Lord told me something when God didn't say it. Oh, and so he came to the prophet Ezekiel, a man that he could trust, and said, I want you to go to my people, and I want you to warn them and tell them you're not prophesying the right thing. Mm-hmm. You've misunderstood the word of God. You've misunderstood the will of God. And it said the prophets here were following their own spirit.
Yes.
Have you ever been in a place of a decision and you needed to know God's will?
Yeah.
And then you kind of made a decision of what you were going to do and you went to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. Now, would you bless me?
Yeah.
Lord, this, you already had your mind made up.
Yeah.
Folks, we need to come to the Lord with an open heart saying, Lord, would you show me your will? Would you reveal to me your will? Too many times people do what they want to do, and it's a whole lot easier to blame it on God and say, well, God showed me that. I've watched people do it down through the years. They'll say, the Lord told me to move here. All right, well, that's good. And then it doesn't work out, and they pick up, and they go do something else. Well, the Lord told me to do this. That doesn't work out. Well, the Lord told me. Do you realize that when we say the Lord told us to do something, it's pretty hard to argue with you about it? Because you can come up and say, well, I think we could have a discussion on what color to paint the chapel. And you may say, well, I think it ought to be white, and someone else say pink. But if I get up here and say, the Lord told me to paint it purple, what are you going to say? Because now I'm evoking the highest authority that I can evoke in saying it's not just preference now, it was God that told me that. Be careful about saying what God told you when he really didn't, especially when it correlates with your desire in the flesh. See, too many times people will try to put God's name on it when really it's what the flesh wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that's what these prophets were doing. Moving on down to the 9th verse. He said, mine eye, mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. In other words, they were out prophesying saying, this is what the Lord said. And the Lord told Ezekiel, my hand is going to be against those that are evoking the name of the Lord, and they're telling lies, they're untruths. And he went on to say, then they shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Because, even because they have seduced my people... This is what the false prophets were doing, folks. They were seducing the people, saying, peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them, Ezekiel, which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? I want us to note this afternoon, and it's my desire, that we build a strong foundation. First of all, that we build on a strong foundation, and that we build a spiritual life that will withstand the storms of life.
Yeah.
But it's not going to come about by an agreement of people necessarily. We could come in here this afternoon and we could take a vote on a number of issues. Who thinks we ought to do it this way? The majority wins. And we can leave here saying, we've all agreed this is the way it's going to be. Folks, agreement of the majority does not change the truth of God's Word. There are many times that you may be in the minority and other people are saying it's this way. Folks, there's nothing that supersedes the Word of God. Amen. It doesn't matter who said it. It doesn't matter who wrote it. The Word of God supersedes anything. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. The Scripture says it this way. Heaven and earth shall pass away. These earthly things are going to fade away, but my Word shall not pass away. We need to be careful about consensus, folks. Consensus does not change God's truth. Untempered mortar. Ezekiel told them, you're telling the people their safety. And he said, there's not safety. You're telling the people everything's going to be okay. They're not going to be okay. He said, it's like you're building a wall with untempered mortar. Untempered mortar was something that did not have the right consistency. In this time, they built with sand and lime. And if they just used sand and water and built their bricks, brick by brick, when the storm came, it would blow that wall over. If they did not have the appropriate amount of lime in that, which would cause it to harden. I want to live and build my life in such a way that I can stand the storms of life. And ultimately, when the judgment of God comes on, the Lord's not going to say, all right, Michael, remember y'all had that meeting and everybody agreed that this was truth? The Lord's not going to judge me on that. The Lord's going to judge me, and He's going to judge you based on thus saith the Word of God. And so there are still people today that are saying, this is what God says. Folks, the only authority that any minister has is when he says something that is proven and backed up by the Word of God. That's what's going to bring life to us. But if we don't get the right mixture and we take a part of it and leave the rest, we're building with untempered mortar. Spiritually. Well, specifically, Ezekiel was speaking to the prophets in Israel, and the Chaldean army had been out conquering nations. Remember who the Chaldeans were? The Babylonians. And we find that they were conquering people, and the prophets here were telling the people of Israel, you won't be conquered. They cannot destroy these walls that were around Jerusalem. These walls are strong and they're steadfast. Don't worry about it. There'll be peace here. And Ezekiel came along and said, no, a storm is coming that's going to tear down these walls. That storm came in the form of the Babylonian army. And when the Babylonian army came, guess what? They destroyed the city of Jerusalem. And that's when, if you recall your history, they took a lot of the children of Israel and took them down into Babylon. And that's where we find Daniel and the three Hebrew children, those that were still staying faithful to God. But those that were left in Jerusalem were polluted because the Babylonians brought in people of other nations. It's where the Samaritans came from. It was a mix. Cousins of the Jews. They'd intermingled and they adopted some of the Jewish religion and some of the Babylonians' religion and some of the idolaters, and they mixed it all up in their own form of religion. Well, Ezekiel said these walls aren't secure. You are building them with untempered mortar. It's not the right consistency. Well, the Scripture was already read the other day, so I'll just point you to it. Matthew 24:24. It said, there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. If someone came in here this afternoon and laid hands on every sick person and they were healed, would that mean they were from God? It doesn't, folks. Great signs and wonders come in the form of angels of light, but it's the power of Satan. We cannot judge truth based on the outward evidences of miracles that someone may have. Can't do it. We cannot judge God's anointing based on a charismatic spirit. I've watched down through the years, and I've seen people come and go. And there are people that have a natural charisma, whether they use it in the workforce or whether they do use it behind the pulpit or from their seat. And people are drawn to that. There's something that draws. That's the essence of someone that has charisma. That doesn't mean God's anointing is on that. We must beware that even as in the days of Ezekiel, there will be false prophets. There will be people that are saying, "Thus saith the Lord." We need to measure what the prophets are saying by a higher authority, folks. It's the only credibility we have this afternoon is when it's backed up by the Scripture. I mentioned in Fresno a few months ago, and I'll mention here this afternoon, you start with me. If what I preach isn't based on the Word of God, you have a responsibility to let me know that, because I don't want to lead you astray. When I come to service and I bring my young children, I want them to hear, "Thus saith the Word of God." And I want them to hear something that will bring life to them. I don't want to build on with untempered mortar. Something with the wrong consistency, truth mixed with error. That's where the deception of false prophets is, folks. That's the danger, what we heard this morning, of dabbling with sectism. Because there are a lot of churches you could go to and be blessed in your soul. Do you know that? There's a lot of places you could go and hear a lot of truth. And God blesses His truth wherever He can find it. And that's why people can be saved in other churches, that people can be saved, people can give their heart to God. But I want to tell you what the problem is. When you've been saved and you start building the walls, you start making decisions and choices, and you start building with something that's not the right consistency, just a little bit of air mixed in the truth. When the storm comes, you're going to not find the ability or the power to withstand it. That is why it is important, folks, individually this afternoon, that we build our lives, first of all, on a solid foundation, and then that we take heed how we build.
Yes. Amen.
Truth. Lord, help us to get hold of this. Truth is not dependent on what you think. Is anybody here colorblind? You know, we can be colorblind sometimes, and someone that's colorblind can come along and say, "Well, look at these purple seats. I'm not even sure those brown or purple now that I look at them." There, you know, whatever threads are running through that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. There is a certain color that is, regardless of how I see it. Yeah. And too many times, people can come together and say, "Well, this is how I see it." What does that have to do with it? What does the Word of God say? Folks, that's the only thing that is going to stand the judgment shock of God. I want to build with some strong walls. Well, this is the reason why. 1 John 4:1. The Scripture said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. For many false prophets are gone out in the world." And folks, there are Scripture after Scripture that back this up. Ezekiel, in the interest of harmony and unity, should have kept his mouth shut. Is that right?
No.
Politically. But rather, he was not being moved by what the people wanted. The false prophets were telling the people what they wanted to hear. If a minister is always telling you what you want to hear, you better be careful. Because in telling someone what it's doing, what the prophets were doing, they were seducing the people.
Yeah.
And people here, they have itching ears, see? Just preach the things that make me feel good. Don't cut across my flesh. Yeah. If we come to service Sunday after Sunday, and we always feel use the expression tonight, the warm fuzzies, and nothing ever cuts across the flesh, I want to tell you, your minister's not doing their job. Because when the Word of God is preached in its fullness, it's going to bring comfort. It's going to bring security. It's going to bring love. But it's also going to bring judgment against the flesh, folks. That's not what the world's preaching. They're saying peace and safety. Just come as you are and stay as you are. And profess Christ, it's going to be okay. God loves us just like we are. He loves us, but He wants to change how we are, folks.
Amen.
The false prophet is one that says, "It's okay, peace and safety." And Ezekiel came along and said, "No." He said, "These walls won't be able to stand." I want to challenge and encourage us. This is not contrary to what we've heard in this meeting. You understand that?
Amen.
The Bible teaches love and long-suffering and humility. That's on our relationships, folks. But when it comes to what is taught from behind the pulpit, when it comes to the leadership, when it comes to those that are in a position of authority, I want to hear tempered mortar. I want to hear a higher authority. Yeah. I want to hear what God has to say, because I want to build on something strong and firm that's going to withstand the test of time.
Yeah. Amen.
So then we have a responsibility to try the Spirit. Said so we're not supposed to judge. Brother Brian mentioned the scripture the other day, the righteous judgeth all things.
Yeah.
How do we do that? Jesus told us to judge too, didn't he?
Yes.
What kind of judgment did Jesus tell us to judge? Righteous judgment. You see, there is a consistency of true mourner, of tempered mourner, that is a mix of mercy and judgment. It is a mix of love and truth. All those things work together, folks. And when we have that proper consistency, we will be we'll have healthy families, healthy in our spiritual life, and healthy congregations. But it's when the consistency isn't right that there's weakness. That there's weakness there. And so then, we are to try the spirits, folks. Not carnally.
No.
Not in, well, I don't like them. I don't like the way they look. I've never liked their dad, so I don't like them. That's not what we're taught in the Scripture.
No.
Try the Spirit.
Yes.
Look on their life. And how do we try the Spirit? By the Word of God.
Yeah.
What fruit is coming out of their life?
Yeah.
Do you see the love and the gentleness and the long-suffering and the mercy and the compassion and the judgments of God? Do we see those things coming out of their life? If we don't, folks, we better be very careful who we choose to listen to. That's a personal choice now. But we need to be careful who we listen to, because I do not want to put my children under an influence that's going to cause them to build on a shaky foundation, that when they get away from home, they fall right back into sin because they had untempered mortar building their walls with it. Lord, give us something strong. But folks, we have a responsibility, not carnally, but we have a God-given responsibility to try the spirits, whether they be of God. And the only way we can do that is by measuring it by the plumb line of the Word of God. How is what's being said, how does it line up? How does it measure? And not just what they say, but what about their conduct? Do we see the fruit of the Spirit coming out in their life? Folks, there is nothing that gives greater anointing or authority to a man of God than to have a life that backs up what they say. Try the Spirit, whether it be of God. False prophets, here they arose, saying, preaching a message of peace. Do you know what a lot of the big mega churches are preaching today? Y'all aware of what they're preaching? Health and wealth to God's people. And that's what's drawing the people. People are flocking to this concept of how I can just be a better person and how I can develop my character. And if it's time to get a promotion, the promotion is yours as God's people. And we could go in that vein. That's exactly what the false prophets in this time of Ezekiel were doing. They said, peace and safety. It's okay, you're God's people. But folks, when we build with untempered mortar, what we tend to do is cover up the weaknesses in our life. We cover up the cracks in the wall, and when the storm comes, the wall falls down. We need something of greater power and strength. Ezekiel said, the scripture says rather, there will be those that say peace and safety, and then sudden destruction. Folks, we need something of substance to build our lives with this afternoon. The true prophet will be the one that speaks the truth. Judgments against sin, repentance,
yes.
Restoration,
yes.
Healing, comfort, humility, peace, love. And what the true prophets will promote is something that will draw us into a closer relationship with God on a very personal level.
Yes.
Folks, to get into a closer relationship with God, it's going to mean a greater purifying of ourself.
Yeah.
So when someone comes along and said, oh, those fleshly things, that's okay. The pride, the spirit that's so prevalent out in the world, it's okay. The Lord understands we're human. Don't worry about those things. Don't believe it. It's just simple. Because God is a holy God, folks. And if we want to be more in the presence and under the influence of God, I'm going to have to yield my way more and more. And there's a growth process in that, folks. Yes, there are divine instantaneous works that God does, but He's still working on me. And so then as I build my life, as I build my spiritual life, allowing God to work in me, I want to listen to that which is backed up by the Word that will show me more of myself and show me more of what God is requiring. Lord, for You, I'll lay that down. Whenever you find someone telling you it doesn't matter, you better be careful. And when people come along and say, oh, these little things, they don't matter. Folks, little things matter. Because it's the little thing, the little fox, that's a better expression than what came to my mind. Yeah. It's the little foxes that will spoil the vine, folks. It's the little things. And if we're not careful with the little things, we're going to get in trouble with the big things. Yeah. Amen. Scripture says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Folks, isn't that truth? If you sow uncleanness, that's what you're going to reap. If you live after the flesh, that's what you're going to reap. But if you will sow and give of yourself to holiness and righteousness, that's where you're going to find the blessings of God. So then we have a responsibility, don't we? When we step in the chapel, I want to know that what I'm going to hear is going to be, thus saith the Word of God. Yes. And I want it to be that when my children come to service, they'll be saying, oh, it's not just Dad that says that. Yes. Here now the minister gets up and the Sunday school teacher and the testimonies, and they're saying, that's what Dad's been saying all along. Folks, it does my heart good when I come to service and I hear the same things that I've been trying to impress upon my children night after night in family worship. It's not just me then, because we want to come down. I want my children to rise above me. I want my children to rise above and realize this isn't just Dad's religion. This is something that will work life in you. And I need you today. I need you to live a holy, righteous life that can be a testimony to my children. Yeah. It's not about me and it's not about you, folks. But we need to rise to a high standard. This is the authority and this is the truth. Scripture over in the 22nd chapter of Ezekiel. 28th verse, dealing with the same principles. It said her prophets, now that's Ezekiel 22, verse 28. It said her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. Now what I said about evoking the name of the Lord recently, and it wasn't this passage, but I heard someone preach along those lines about evoking the name of the Lord. And do you realize that we need to be so careful in our lives about saying, God said this? Because, folks, if God really told you, you better not deviate from it. You better not change it. If it was God, you better be careful. And as God's people, I say this in love. But it does great damage when someone comes along and said, God told me this. God revealed this, and now I'm going to put on everybody what God has revealed to me. It better work. It better happen. I have been involved in so many situations with some of the saints that were on their deathbed. Someone calls or comes in and says, God told me He's going to heal you. Many times I've been in that place, folks. One time it was my father-in-law. There was a highly respected saint of God that called on the phone. Said the Lord revealed that He's going to heal him. I almost could not stand. I had to get up and walk out of the room. And everybody else was starting to feel hurt. And I thought, this is not of God. My father-in-law passed away. Do you know what that does to families? When someone says, God told me and it doesn't happen. Then we start looking for excuses. Well, maybe it was our fault. Maybe we didn't have enough faith. Maybe we didn't do what we need to do. Folks, when God says something, He's going to do it. So we need to be careful when we deal with each other. Don't put out what God told you unless you know for sure it was God. When God tells you something, we can stand on it and it will come to pass. But there has been a lot of damage done to the saints' children in their walk of faith because people have used untempered mortar. Mm-hmm. Saying God told me something and it wasn't God, it was wishful thinking.
Oh.
Folks, faith goes beyond wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Faith is standing, trusting God, what, regardless of what happens. That's what faith is.
Yeah.
And then when God reveals it to us, sometimes there's a place to keep your own counsel. And then there's a time to speak it. But when you speak it, you better be sure that it was God that said it. So the prophet said the Lord has spoken and he didn't. Folks, let's be careful with that. We need to base our lives on something that's steadfast. Something that's fixed. Something that is sure. People say different things about God. Do you know how many different definitions of God we could come up with if we just went through this city here? So, well, who is God? What does God require? Well, I think... Wait a minute. What does what you think have to do with it? What is what I think? Do you know how many different pictures of God people have in their minds?
Yes.
Do you know the only way that I can truly begin to know my Lord is come back to His Word?
Amen.
And as I begin to study the Scriptures and the Spirit of God illuminates it, I can begin to see God for who He is. Folks, some people say some of these doctrines and principles in the Bible aren't important. Oh, folks, they're so important to our life. They're so important in the building block. See, we don't want to build with untempered mortar. We want to build with tempered mortar. Mortar that has the right consistency. Something that is from the Word that will stand the test of time. There are things I thought 10 years ago. And I was right as far as I knew. And then as I grew in the Lord began to show me. I didn't understand it like I thought I did. Do you know that didn't change truth? The Lord just helped me understand more about God. That's why we need to be careful, folks. Let's build with tempered mortar this afternoon. Come back to the Word of God and see what it says. Let's live it, folks. Let's teach it. Let's stand on it. And let's not accept anything less than it, folks. Let's not accept anything less than the Word of God. Because see, again, remember the danger of the false prophet. Most of what they say is right. But there's some weakness. There's some lies. There's some falseness mixed in with it. And that's what's going to cause the crack in the wall. And when the storm comes, we wonder why or sometimes our loved ones, they get saved and they lose out. Because sometimes they're building with untempered mortar. They just want to take a part of the Bible, the things that make them feel good. But there's also a place of self-denial that we will find there is strength in that self-denial when the Lord tells us to do it, folks. There's strength there. The wall of untempered mortar, that wall is meant to protect us. It's meant to be a defense for us. It's meant to enable us to, yes, hide behind it from the enemy as a protection, as a source of strength, as a refuge. But I would much rather tonight or this afternoon, I would much rather see my needs today. I'd much rather see the weaknesses and the cracks in my life today while I have opportunity to take care of them rather than waiting to stand before God. And the Lord says, Michael, it was there. But Lord, I was building with untempered mortar. Folks, this is why the Lord gives us meetings like this.
Yeah.
He wants us to be encouraged and strengthened.
Yeah.
And if the Lord steps on your toe, that kind of sounds fleshly too, doesn't it? But isn't that what He does sometimes?
Yeah.
The Lord showed me for who I am. Don't go home discouraged. Say thank you, Lord, because maybe I had covered it up with some untempered mortar. But Lord, you opened it up and exposed it. And now the Lord's saying, I have something real that you can fill that spot and it'll be stronger than it ever was before.
Yeah.
That we can go out and we can have a stronger defense against the enemy.
Yeah.
Folks, don't be afraid of truth this afternoon. Don't be afraid when it gets close. Don't be afraid when it exposes who you are and you're wondering who all is thinking about me right now. Thank the Lord I can measure up, I can grow because God's given me something better now that I can leave different than when I came in this chapel. Thank the Lord. Oh, folks, this is what God wants for us. So what is this untempered mortar? Let me give you another example before we move on. In Malawi last year, they have a lot of the people that we work with and the saints in Malawi, they live in mud huts. And many of the bricks have not even been dried properly. And they don't have cement Most of them can't afford it, at least. And so they just put mud in straw as they build their houses, their little huts. The rains came last year, and they did not stop. And it rained, and it rained. And do you know what happened to hundreds of their homes? They fell down. They fell down because they had built with something that could not stand the storm. Folks, spiritually, the same thing will happen to us. We may sit back and think, we're doing good. Look at the walls we built. And look at how God is blessing. But folks, will it withstand the storm? What are you building with? Are you building with the tempered mortar of the Word of God? Or are you mixing in your opinions and your philosophies and your own ideas? Those things will not stand the test of time, folks. We all have opinions, though, still, don't we? Lord doesn't remove our opinions, but He wants them to be submitted to Him, that the Word can rise above, that He'll change my opinion, because now I understand what the Word of God wants and what the Lord desires in my life. Untempered mortar, part of the truth, but not all. Doesn't the Scripture say that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God?
Yes.
If we leave any of it out, we're building with untempered mortar, folks.
Yeah.
There are some topics in the Scripture that a lot of people don't want to hear.
Yeah.
And we're family, right?
Yeah.
We don't just need to blame the world out there.
Yeah.
There are things right among us as God's people. It can get real quiet real fast when certain subjects are addressed. Why is that? Because I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. But I want to tell you, Lord, when you love the truth, your heart's going to be open. Whatever the subject is, however close it gets, it doesn't matter. Because if my heart is right, and my life is right, and my attitude's right, I'm going to say, yes, Lord. And if I'm not there by the grace of God, I'm going to get there. We don't have to get quiet. We don't have to be afraid when certain things are taught on. But if we say, well, let's neglect some, you know, there's a couple passages in 1 Peter and some in Timothy. Let's just leave those alone. You're building with untempered mortar. And you may say it doesn't matter, folks. It goes to the core of the heart and the spirit that we have. And that's even more important than the issues. That's more important than the issues because there's something in my heart that is unreceptive to some of the doctrines and the principles that the Word of God teaches. True holiness, folks, is never contrary to God, and it's never contrary to His Word.
Amen.
But if we begin to build our lives on our own thoughts, our own wisdom, we're going to get in trouble. That's untempered mortar. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18. He said, let no man deceive himself. That's talking to us personally. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Folks, the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. So when it comes down to my personal life, let's personalize it. When it comes down to the personal choices and decisions that I'm making, and I'm wanting to build a strong wall, I'm wanting to have a strong relationship with God, why would I draw in the wisdom of this world to help me erect a spiritual wall in my life? Why would I do that? Maybe suspicious isn't the right word. I am cautious against anybody that goes out to the world and tries to draw that in to build a wall among God's people. The foolishness of the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. There is something that is better than what the world has to offer. And if you think, well, there's some good things out there, I want to ask you something. Where is the world going? What direction, if they've really got it figured out, if the religious world really has it figured out, do you see God blessing their life more? Do you see more of the righteousness of God in their life? If not, I don't need it. I want something stronger. I want something better. I want something that will draw me into closer relationship with God. Folks, let's be careful about drawing on the wisdom of the world when it comes to spiritual things. Be careful. And when we come along and say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that, What does the Bible say? Do you know the Bible? I believe it fundamentally addresses every issue that we face in life. And you may say, well, where in the Bible does it say that thou shalt not do this? It might not. But there are principles in the Scripture. There are things. I'm building a wall. Now, what kind of mortar are we using? The choices and decisions I make on a personal level. I'm not going to put this on you now here. I'm going to talk personally. There are decisions and choices I make not to go places, not to do things, and some things to do because of the principles that are in the Scripture. I have biblical reasons for why I don't do that. And it is not wrong to look around and say, people that have done that, have you seen the Lord blessing them in that? See, have you seen them in a close relationship with God? There are issues that come up sometimes. People advocate certain things. And I think we've already been there. We've already done that. We've already seen the results of what happens when we go down that road. The world, think about child raising. What does the child psychology say how to discipline your children today? Don't. Right? Stand in the corner. Very hands off. Very hands off. They think they have it figured out, but what's the condition of our children and youth today? Lack of discipline. Rebellion. I have an answer today, and it's not mine. It's in the Word of God. See? The Bible tells us how to raise our children with love, but yet with correction. And why is it that people that use that, it seems like their children are so much more behaved? And the wisdom of the world saying, you all are messed up. Who's right? Who's right? See what the wisdom of the world does? And we can just look at the results, folks. This is another message the Lord gave me, I thought, for this meeting. Sister Alice touched on a lot of it, so I'm leaving it with God. But when we look around us, see what works for people. When people talk about their marriages and child raising and living for God, I am watching people, not critically, but I want to see what works. Yeah. If it worked, if you have it successful, your children have been grown and love the Lord, I want to know what you did. Yeah. And there are some things that I come to and say, I'm not sure what to do. I'm saying, what did you do with your children? When you came to that place, because I want to follow some good godly examples that I can see successes. And I also want to look at failures to help me know what not to do. Folks, serving God, it's the same way. When we come up to these choices and decisions, let's look around. Who's made the decision already and where are they today? Yeah. That will help us. That will help guide our life. It'll help direct us. Ezekiel 13:22. It says, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. See, the false prophets, they made the righteous feel bad. And it said, and I didn't make him sad. God's saying, I didn't do that. But he said, you strengthen the hands of the wicked that should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. In other words, the false prophet's the one that's telling those in their sin and iniquity, those that are building with untempered mortar, they're saying, oh, everything's okay. You'll be fine. And so then if someone tells me I'm fine, why should I look for something better? That's why, folks, we, Lord, help us. Let me tell you what happens. In the Bible is about God's relationship with mankind. That is the foundation of our spiritual walk with God. It is a personal relationship that we have between God and me. That's what it's about. It's about a relationship based on love. But yet, with that, love brings some requirements, doesn't it? Yeah. The Bible does have some things it tells me not to. The New Testament does. Yeah. It has things it tells me to do. It has things it tells me not to do. And then people that are really wanting to get close to God, the wicked, or those that are building with untempered mortar, do you know what the response is to that? You're just a legalist. Yeah. There are people that are just legalists. I'm going to get there in a few minutes. But there's another side to this. You're just a legalist. You're just following the do's and don'ts. I want to follow what the Bible says. If it says it, I want to do it. And you may say we're narrow-minded, but I say the saints are focused. You may say you just don't see it. It doesn't matter. Yes, it does. I'm focused because I want to make careful, cautious decisions in everything that touches my life. It means what I listen to, where I go, what I wear, the attitudes I have, everything in my life. I want to be cautious. And if I'm going to err, I would rather err on the side of caution than to get too close to the world and build with untempered mortar and lose my soul over something that's lawful but not expedient. Brother Johnson, it struck me when he said the other day, he said the devil works in the gray areas. Untempered mortar, things that maybe are not sin. But what is it doing to my spiritual walk with God? How does it affect me? You may say, well, you can't say that's sin. I won't disagree with you. But I'll tell you, I've watched people in a lot of gray areas, and I've watched them for years, wanting to see what the end result was, and I've seen it. I say, stay as far away from the world as you can get. Stay close to God, a careful, godly, righteous life, folks, and you'll make it. God will bless you in those things. I trust y'all still love me.
Yeah.
If we're not careful, then we can look around us and we can want to build a wall of unity and security even among us as God's people. Because we want unity. We want security. I don't want someone looking at me with suspicion. We've already heard about that in the meeting. It's right. It's true. But folks, at the same time, I don't want false unity. I don't want because we agree to disagree and go on together. I can't fellowship unrighteousness. I can't fellowship something the Bible teaches against, folks. It's why we need to be careful then, because we can build a wall of untempered mortar and say we have unity, and all the time it's just a shell. And when the storm comes, there will be no more unity than anything. Folks, what it takes, he said, endeavoring to keep the unity of what?
The Spirit.
Of the Spirit and of what? In the bond of peace, folks. And how many faiths are there? There's one faith. There's one body. There's one God, folks. There's one Spirit. There's only one. And so if you go that way and I go that way, God still has a way.
Yes.
And if I say I'm on God's way, you can do it your way. But ultimately, folks, the only way that's going to make it is God's. And so my desire and my purpose then is, Lord, show me your way. Show me your way. And that means I'm going to have to come back to this. Call us narrow-minded if you want. Call us legalist. In other words, we're going to do exactly what it says. And say, oh, it doesn't matter. It does matter, folks. Watch the results of people that haven't done it. Years down the road, look at the results. But there's another side to that, isn't there? Jesus addressed the scribes and the Pharisees in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. And he said in chapter 23, beginning with verse 23, woe unto you, scribes. Folks, when Jesus says woe, we better listen.
Oh, yeah.
He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. What is a hypocrite?
Pretender.
It's a pretender. A play actor. One that acts like something they're not. He said, ye pay tithe of mint. And he goes on to talk about keeping what they do. And he said, you've omitted the weightier matters of the law.
Yes.
Judgment, mercy,
yes,
and faith.
Yes.
These you ought to have done and not to leave the other undone.
Yes.
Folks, keep the word of God. Be careful. Keep it.
Yes.
But don't forsake the spirit of love and mercy and long-suffering that Jesus came to bring. See, untempered is an improper consistency. We want the proper mix in our building this afternoon. And he said, ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. He went on to say, you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean. He went on to say, you're like whited sepulchres. You know what that is? It's a whited wall.
Yeah.
A whited sepulchre which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and are full of uncleanness. Oh, dear ones, an outward standard of holiness is biblical. Is that an amen?
Yeah.
It's biblical. Modesty, decency, simplicity, that's black and white Bible. But I want to tell you, if you don't mix it with the true holiness and purity in your heart, you're building with untempered mortar, and we can hide behind our own righteousness. The scripture talks about those that go about building or establishing their own righteousness. Mm-hmm. And they can hide behind it. I've seen people, and please understand what I'm trying to say. They think if you dress modestly and don't go to the doctor, you're going to heaven. They're building with untempered mortar. These things, again, do what the Bible teaches. Have faith in God. Dress modestly. But folks, you better get the deeper things of Christ. You better get a hard experience of salvation. Don't leave the other undone. But see, then we can start to divide into two camps. One saying it's all these outward works that's going to get us there. And someone else says, no, it's just in the heart. I'll say both of those are untempered mortar unless you mix them together. That's what will make us strong and living well-pleasing to God. Tempered mortar. I believe it's been brought out. It is the Word of God, folks. Together. Inside, outside, action, spirit, attitudes. Everything I do, building with tempered mortar, is going to come back to, yes, the black and whites, but also to the principles of purity and holiness and godliness and love and mercy. You know what it's like to have someone that looks real godly on the outside just lose their temper and lose their cool at you? It's like, what's going on? You know, what does God place value on? A meek and a quiet spirit. See, God places value there. Recently, we were speaking with someone, and there's some difficulties in the marriage because the sister in the home was wanting to begin dressing more what she felt like God wanted her to. Her husband didn't want her to. But his response was, why are you worried about dressing like that when you get so mad and act so carnal? He's got a point. He's got a point. But we don't want to leave one without the other, but we want to bring them together. Let's build with tempered mortar this afternoon. Lord bless and help us. Building, Brother Larry, he used actually this example when he was talking about a brick wall the other day. He said that what's in between those bricks is love among the saints. Oh, do you know that's the foundation, folks? Everything you do, let's let it be motivated by love. You know, we can be motivated by peer pressure right among saints. We can talk about peer pressure out in the world. You get peer pressure right here too, right? Godly influence is a good thing, but it's not going to get me to heaven. I've got to get something in my heart for myself with God that will stand when others around me fall, that we will have that blend that will keep us strong and secure. Oh, briefly, in Isaiah 26:1, it said, in this day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. It said, we have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Folks, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. We cannot, it's not going to be good enough to come in and try to adhere to a history, try to measure to a tradition that our parents have passed down to us. Those things won't save us. Learn from it, respect it, let it guide and let it direct you. But folks, we're going to have to get salvation in our heart for ourselves. Brother and I were talking yesterday at breakfast this morning about our children. We came to the conclusion, we already knew it, we can't raise saints. We can teach our children, we can guide them and direct them. But I tell my children all the time, you're going to have to get a personal relationship with God for yourself. Or all of these things we're teaching you, it won't avail anything when you stand before God. Oh, salvation, folks, that's a good place. That's the work of God. And He'll appoint that for walls and bulwarks. That's our refuge. In closing, if you will turn with me to 1 Corinthians. I appreciate your time this afternoon. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. He said, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Folks, Christ is our foundation. If your foundation is a history, if it is a group of people, if it is a chapel, if it is a location, It won't work. It won't work. Christ is our foundation. That is the foundation upon which to build. And then he said, take heed how you build then. I want to challenge and encourage you. Let's build with tempered mortar.
Yes.
Let's not build with untempered, but let's get the consistency of the whole thing working together, folks. And we'll come out. He said, then every man's work. Now if a man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest.
Right.
For the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Folks, let's build with the tempered mortar of God's Word, and it will stand not only the test of this life, but it'll stand the judgment when He comes back. Amen.